Oh yes, we will all be reading this out there. Okay, so my long introduction to Leia is going to be in Spanish. So, Leia habla perfectamente español. Vamos a traducir su presentación que va a, ella va a hacerlo en español mismo, porque ella aprendió todo acerca de permacultura en Cuba. Y por eso es necesario que ella hable en español. Es una muchacha muy lista, muy inteligente. Ella ha trabajado mucho acerca de Colombia y la violencia en Colombia. ¿No? Ha estudiado de ese. Y también ha estudiado acerca de fracking. Sí, pero en Colombia dicen fracking. So, y ahora ella trabaja para LAB. So that's enough introduction for Leia. She's amazing. Anyhow, and spent her summer several months in Cuba studying permaculture, and there's lots of exciting things that those of you who know Spanish can translate for your neighbors. I thought she was going to talk in Spanish and we would translate it because she learned her from her culture in Spanish, but I think she can do it in English, right?
I can do it in English. Okay.
Then I don't have to translate finally. I was considered bilingual down in Colombia, so I did an awful lot of translating, and it does get tiring. They also have professional translators because we were from 15 countries. Yeah. Okay. So, do we want to shuffle around? We have to go see this. Yeah. Do you want us to sit forward or in circles?
Yeah, I feel like if I was sitting down, then I would just mumble. And
but do you want us to face forward or do you want us to be in a circle?
You can face forward for now. I'll do a discussion after. Or whatever, like, however you are is fine.
It's roller desk time.
Yeah, however everybody is good. I talk loudly. It's fine. Okay, everybody.
I feel like we should do a flash mob with these things somewhere.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea, actually.
Yeah.
I finished it last night.
Nice.
In the introduction, Leia almost always wears one thing at least that she made herself. And this is, as you can see.
I started it at lunch on Tuesday in the Learning and Beyond office.
I will not tell her boss.
I did it at my
She said on lunch.
I was off the clock. Okay, so I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me. So first I'm going to go through what my goals and objectives were for doing the permaculture trip, what I wanted to get out of it. Then I'll go into, sorry for those of you who came to the Sustainability Awareness Week, I didn't tweak my presentation that much. So it'll be a lot of the same, but
repetition is the key to learning.
Yeah. after that, I'll do an introduction to permaculture, some of the key assumptions associated with permaculture. The primary goal of permaculture, the principles. And then I will just go into the program specifically that I did and some of my key learnings throughout. And then after, I'll just go into some of my personal reflections. And definitely keep in mind, Dakota is still the permaculture master in the room. I'm just still a very new learner. So
Leia is the permaculture translator.
Yeah. So, yes, I'm definitely not an expert. This is just presenting what I learned this summer, so... All right, so the first thing I wanted to point out were the pictures that are behind me. I included the one of myself cutting tires because it was kind of my biggest triumph, other than the translating. I became the tire cutting master with the machete this summer, and it was really exciting for me. So we cut out the inner tube, I guess, and then used the outer tube.
Or do you need to cut lights?
Oh, that's fine. It looks good right now.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, off.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's good. Seeing
that? Yeah.
Well, you know what you're going to
say. Yeah. So, yeah, we used, I mean, I'll go through the permaculture principles, but one of them is use locally accessible resources and also, I guess, reusing things that traditionally would be considered waste, like old tires, as something in your system. It's especially important in permaculture in Cuba because they have very little access to resources. So I was thinking of Mark Shepherd's presentation, and he's kind of thinking, like, this is just pretty permaculture. But, I mean, that is from the perspective of an American with ready access to every resource he could ever imagine, which was a critique, I guess, I had of his presentation, where it's like, in Cuba, that's just not possible. You do have to use every access to resources that you can possibly get. So, I mean, that's just an essential part of permaculture in Cuba. And another thing to reiterate before I actually start my presentation is that permaculture is a completely localized initiative. It's going to look different every single place you see it practiced because it is adapted to the location that it is. So permaculture in Camrose is going to be different from permaculture even in Dakota's Farm. If you're doing it in the city, it's going to be different from permaculture in the States, whatever country it's in, whatever community, it's probably going to be a little bit different. You're never going to see the same exact same replication. And it would be completely against permaculture principles for somebody to say this is going to universally work every single place you see it, because that's just not true of a resilient system. You have to be adapted to where you are. Sorry, that's just a little prelude. Anyway, so we use those tires to build up, to put the sides on raised garden beds. So I became really proud of, one, my arms from being able to cut them and hammering it to get them apart. So I just wanted to include that picture. The next picture is just another example of reusing materials. If you notice, the hanging baskets are used from retired casings on fans, which you'll see almost everywhere in Cuba. One, there's a lot of fans there. Also, there are a lot of broken fans in Cuba. So they end up reusing the covers on them as raised garden beds, and you'll see them all over the place. Sometimes you almost don't even notice them. You're like, wow, that's really it's really creative. Anyways.
I thought you were
going to
say hubcaps from the tires.
I'm sure I've seen that too. Yeah, they're a little more attached to their cars, though, so they usually make those run no matter what. Fans, maybe they can spare. Okay, so goals. Oh, I'm going to scroll down, I guess. Okay, so my goals with the trip predominantly were first to see an alternative way of growing and producing food. I think, like a lot of us throughout our degrees, we just hear doom and gloom repetitively, and it just gets to this point where you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? How can we possibly look at an alternative? And that was just one where I just wanted to see one of, I'm sure, thousands if not millions of alternatives to the industrial paradigm of growing food and generally of globalization that we see. So I just wanted to learn an alternative. The second, I also wanted to learn what level of social mobilization is necessary to make these sorts of alternatives possible in a large scale in society. I was just interested to see what those kind of communities look like, what that political organization looks like, because it can't happen independent of the state, from what I would say I learned in Cuba. And then also, I made a post about that on the Spirit of the Land blog, but my third one that actually became the most overarching throughout the trip was me wanting to redevelop a relationship to the land and rediscover skills I had as a child, such as gardening, to help me be more sustainable in the future. I think what you would have gained from my blog on the website is that I didn't really enjoy farming growing up. I had a really negative association with growing food and farming because of the family situation that I had, and I really wanted to overcome that and redevelop a positive relationship to farming, food production, and land. So that was, I guess, the third large goal I had. And then there were other, other goals, such as professional development, leadership skills. My role, I wasn't just doing the internship. My role was as an assistant leader and translator. So I wanted to gain translation interpretation skills, deepen my understanding of Cuban culture and politics, grow in compassion for the Cuban people, and gain knowledge of group dynamics. Okay, so for those of you who are not sure what permaculture is, it is a holistic design system for food production that insists on social and ecological justice.
By the way, baño seco is the toilet.
Yeah, those are really common in Cuba, actually. So it seems gross when you first learn about it, but actually it's pretty intelligent. They have baño secos, so dry toilets where your waste is essentially kept. It decomposes and is really just turned into fertilizer and dirt and then redistributed throughout your system. Lots of different places, they have rules for what it can actually be used for. So they won't use, for example, it's human feces. They won't use it on, what's an example?
Lettuce fields.
Yeah, they wouldn't use it in lettuce fields or anything like that. They'd probably use it around trees or things that you're not going to be eating the skin of. Like, it's kind of like a bigger plant. So you put directly into the soil, but not necessarily, it's not going to directly touch the food that you're going to be eating. But either way, usually it'll sit for almost a year and a half, so it's really not the same thing as it originally was. So, that I just wanted to include that picture too because they're all over Cuba. Before I wanted to jump into the principles, I think it's important to look at the key assumptions embedded in permaculture. I think everybody in this class is probably more or less on board with some of the assumptions that are made. So the first, human activity in the industrial model is damaging to the earth and its natural systems. Problems predominantly arise concerning the use and distribution of energy, and that could be any form of energy, whether that's human, caloric, or fossil fuels. Humans have the power and possibility to repair the earth and create systems that are both ecologically and socially just. Solutions must start small within our local communities. We must look at problems holistically. Therefore, answers to ecological problems are not simply scientific, but also community-based. Community building and the free flow of knowledge among people is an absolute necessity. So that's one thing that stuck out to most of the participants that were really new to Cuba. They don't really exercise intellectual property rights as in Canada and, I guess, the Western world, that kind of becomes a weapon of corporations. Cuba obviously doesn't necessarily have large-scale globalized corporations that are, putting up a monopoly all over the place. The free flow of knowledge, especially among permaculturalists and agriculturalists, is something that every single person will talk about, and they'll say everything that we're offering, all of our workshops, all of our knowledge is free because what benefits us is going to benefit everybody. Which I think, I really appreciate, and something that stuck out repeatedly throughout the trip. The next one is ecology, soil science, geography, plant science, etc. are necessary to consciously design intelligent systems, and we can create alternatives to the industrial model through transformation. And transformation that I have noted here is holistic. So of our lifestyles, communities, political and economic model, food production and distribution systems. When you're practicing permaculture, it's not just that you're designing a garden, you're redesigning your entire conception of how you're, I guess, organizing your life in your communities, and that's what it really advocates for. Is it's not just everything you can imagine within your system, within your communities, within the world, they're all interconnected, so you can't just segregate little pieces of your life and think that that's going to make a real difference. You have to really holistically transform all of it. All right. So the permaculture principles. Am I going too fast? I just kind of wanted to rip through permaculture and then get to discussion. So everybody's on board with that. How it go? Okay. Okay, so the primary goal within a permaculture system is to hold on to energy entering the system as much as possible. So you're continually reassessing and trying to increase the energy return on investment, something our oil and gas industry isn't super keen on. So they're continually trying to think, how can we keep and store energy within, whether that be human energy, solar energy, bioenergy from things decomposing, whatever it is, you're always just, you're trying to create essentially a dome that will just keep it all inside. And that goal can be accomplished through the permaculture principles. I'm just going to go right through them. The first would be that you have to use protracted and thoughtful observation and not protected and thoughtful labor. So you really need to understand everything that's going on in the area, be that with your soil science, your terrain, social and political factors, before establishing your system. So you wouldn't want to just go in and decide that something is going to work only to have it taken down, for example, by bylaws or anything like that. You really need to be conscious and aware of what's going on in place.